First reading is from Exodus chapter 14, beginning at the fifth verse. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, the mind of Pharaoh and his servants was changed toward the people, and they said, "What is this we have done, that we have let Israel go from serving us?" So he made ready his chariot, took his army with him, and took 600 chosen chariots and all other chariots of Egypt with officers over all of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the people of Israel when the people of Israel were going out defiantly. The Egyptians pursued them, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamped by Pithroath at Baal Zephon. When Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they feared greatly. And the people of Israel cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Is this because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us, bringing us out of Egypt? Is this not what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." And Moses said to the people, "Fear not. Stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. And the Lord will fight for you. You have only to be silent." The Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the people of Israel to go forward. Lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, that the people of Israel may go through the sea on dry ground. And I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, so they shall go after them, and I will get glory over Pharaoh and all his host, and his chariots, and his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten glory over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen." Then the angel of God, who was going before the host of Israel, moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood behind them, coming between the host of Egypt and the host of Israel. And there was the cloud and the darkness, and it lit up the night, without one coming near the other all night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord drove back the sea by a strong east wind all night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. This is the word of the Lord.
This morning, I'm going to be preaching in the book of Exodus, and the story is about the Israelites leaving Egypt. But first, I'll tell you a story about a man who was walking through a shopping market with a screaming baby in the cart. And a woman nearby watched this man for a while, and she noticed all he did was calmly say, "Keep calm, Albert, keep calm." And finally, in admiration of this man's patience, as the child continued to wail, the woman walked up to him and said, "Sir, I must commend you for how you're treating your child. The patience that you have with Albert is amazing." The man looked back at her and said, "Madam, I am Albert." Patience is seldom found in us. We can be patient when we want to, like when we're on vacation, perhaps, or we actually don't mind waiting for the things that are going to happen. This morning, I'm going to begin the story of the largest tale of patience in the Bible. And it's the story of Exodus. Now, the paraphrased children's version is, the Israelites went to Egypt for 400 years. And it came that the little good boys and girls of Israel decided to obey God, and Moses was chosen to lead the Israelites out of Egypt to the promised land. Moses listened to God, and as soon as he did, wonderful things started happening. The Egyptians began to let them go. After God sent 10 plagues to Egypt, Pharaoh said that they could leave. The Israelites made it to the Red Sea. And when they got there, it turned out that Pharaoh had chased them. And God parted the waters, and they crossed through to the other side. They were saved. It's a wonderful story to tell children, that all we have to do is listen and be good, and then everything will turn out fine. When we see genies on TV granting wishes to people, we need to look no further, because from the sounds of it, all we have to do is rub the lamp of prayer and bang, we have what we ask for. As what Ray David would say, we have a cosmic Santa Claus. It is true that we can ask God for everything and anything, and we should always bring our wants and needs before God. The children's story got that particular aspect right. However, it misses out on the vast majority of people's experiences. God likes to make us wait. He builds up our character and our patience when we pray. Sometimes patience feels great. Other times it nearly kills you to have to endure the problems that you face. In the story of the Exodus, Moses learns this much later in life. He was a prince. He was well-built and schooled in Egyptian martial arts and military technology. He understood the culture and the language and all the technology. If he wanted something, all he had to do was ask, and it would be given to him right away. Instant gratification ruled his life from the time he was young until he chose to see how the Hebrew slaves worked in somewhere in his 20s. When he finally learned hardship, he started his path of growth. He turned from the spoiled little prince who got everything his heart desired into the hard-nosed leader of the Israelites. He murdered an Egyptian who was beating an Israelite slave and left Egypt to save his life. It wasn't for approximately 20 more years that God chose to have him come back and save his people. So we have a period of 400 years in slavery and 20 years of sheep herding for Moses to learn the art of patience. When you look at your problem now, anything under 4 centuries should be a snap and a praise item. There have been times in waiting in everybody's life. It's even worse of a waiting period when we know that we could just go out and we could accomplish the task, but God is telling us to wait. We have to learn patience as the people of faith. God provides for us, and sometimes he's going to provide for us a long time from now. Our culture has become like Moses in the palace of Egypt. Sometimes in our circumstances, we wish we could be like kings and queens who got whatever they wanted. And I can assure you that the instant gratification of our time is greater than any other before of those kings and queens. If Moses had asked the royal courts to go and fetch him a volume about military strategy or something like that from a book, they would go down to the library. They would search with the scribes, try and find the appropriate volume, and bring it back in about a half an hour. In under 30 seconds or less, I can accomplish the same thing on a computer. If I want some kind of exotic fruits, if I have a particular vegetable choice that doesn't grow at the specific time of the year, I can go to any market around the corner, and chances are they will have it. I don't have to wait to have things specially imported for me. We have a better chance of living, safer homes, and a safer country. Our ability to live like kings exceeds that of those we wish we could become. We share a lot of things in common with Moses. We all have a real tendency towards instant gratification. The point here of the exodus of the Jewish people is about patience. They stuck by their roots. By 400 years, they had come back stronger towards their Jewish identity. And there's only 2 options when faced with overwhelming odds in terms of culture. You'll either assimilate entirely and forget your culture, or that overwhelming dominance will force you to become stubborn and proudly display your culture and your heritage. And that's exactly what the Jewish people did. They became known as the Hebrew people, an entire people because of their way of life. So when Moses did come to them, they were as stubborn and impatient to him as they were to the Egyptians. After all, Moses was part of the Egyptian courts once upon a time. Patience was somewhat lost to the Israelites after about 400 years of slavery. Even after all the wonderful things that they had seen God do with the plagues and getting them to the point of rescue, impatience abounded. Some people wanted even to go back to Egypt after they left. It's a good thing that God is a patient God in all of these circumstances and problems. According to a traditional Hebrew story, Abraham was sitting outside of his tent one evening at the night, and he saw an old man, weary from age and travel, walking along near his tent. And so he ran out, greeted him, took him into his tent, washed his feet, and clothed him and fed him. And the old man immediately began eating without saying a blessing or giving thanks to God. And so Abraham asked him, "Don't you worship God?" The old traveler replied, "I worship fire only and reverence no other God." And when he heard this, Abraham became incensed. He grabbed the old man by the collar and threw him out of the tent. And once the man had left, God decided to talk to Abraham and said, "Hey, Abe, where'd this man go?" And he said, "I forced him out because he did not worship you." God answered, "I've suffered him for these 80 years of his life, although he dishonors me. Could you not do it for one night?" God's patience through all the years of the Israelites' grumblings and impatience was still there. In our lives, we can humanize God and assume that he might lose his patience with us, get a little bit angry and discipline us. And here's where the story of Exodus changes. God not only shows patience, but grace. Patience without grace is tolerance, and that is an entirely different thing. C.S. Lewis said patience was waiting without worrying. Tolerance is waiting in frustration and worry. They're very different. When the Israelites began to leave Egypt, they were impatient. Understandably impatient, but they weren't even attempting to bide their time in tolerance, not even tolerance. They were just plain upset. They said to Moses in chapter 14, verse 11 and 12, "Is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us bringing us out of Egypt? Is not this what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." Their patience had run out. As soon as they saw their situation and decided to dwell on it without trusting God, they lost all their patience. Their hearts were turned against Moses because they assumed the predicament was impossible. In our lives, we can often find situations to be impossible or too difficult to overcome. Might not even be either of those. Sometimes it's just going to take longer than we really would like. Or perhaps that it isn't going to turn out our way. Those things can easily take away our patience with other people and with God. Not getting our way can make us lose the second aspect of what this story is about, grace. Now, this story will probably be all too familiar to you parents, and this may or may not be a true story about me, but a father put his son to bed at the usual time, and only to hear 5 minutes later the sound of feet running upstairs. And then he heard the little boy's voice, "Dad, can I have a glass of water?" Father got up and brought the boy the glass, and 5 minutes later, he heard the feet again. And then the voice called down, "Dad, I have to go to the bathroom now." This repeated itself for a number of times, and obviously the boy was stalling his bedtime. And over the next half hour, he finally lost both his patience and his grace. The feet pattered once again above him, and before the boy could say anything, he yelled up, "Son, if you do this one more time, I'm going to come up and you won't know what hit you. Go to bed." The boy called down, "Dad, when you come up and I don't know what hits me, could you bring me a glass of water?" We can really lose our patience when our own way isn't followed. And grace and patience fit together like a pair of gloves on the right hands. It is so easy to just stop being patient and gracious when our natural ability to do so feels stretched. Moses wasn't perfect in this respect. He had serious patience when you read through Exodus and to the end of his life. He seldom would break character and do something that would compromise his grace and ability to withstand the grumbling of the people. God had patience for 400 years. He also had the grace to give to the people after he began taking them out of Egypt. He didn't lose his patience and say, "All right, I'm going to spread the waters of the Red Sea for you, but because I heard you grumbling, I'm going to let them collapse on you, and that's just going to be the end of that." His grace to sustain the Israelites throughout the Bible is shown in many stories, not just this one. The Exodus is such a key story in the theme of patience. Abraham and his descendants were promised to go into a land that would become theirs and filled with the blessings of every kind. The key to that promise was the absence of a date and a time and a how. God did not tell them when or how he was going to do it. Had God said, "Look, Abraham, I'm going to give you the perfect land. It's going to be great, but I'm going to enslave your people for 400 years. Do you think Abraham would have said, "Sounds good"? Or would he have worried a little bit? God carefully deals with us and gives us all that we need to know. That usually is just enough to carry us through to the end goal. God tells us to have patience and grace, just like he did with all the Israelites. Sometimes we get stuck. We get to a point in our lives where we are waiting for God or for circumstances to fall into place, and we don't know what to do. The Israelites knew that they were stuck. There was an army behind them, and there was water in front of them. So what next? Die? God just dragged them out, and they were going to die right there? God says to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on." He basically told them, "I'm a God of power who can do anything. The only way to avoid death is to go forward. So you must go forward." Why? Because you are trapped. When you are trapped, God will provide a way forward. You just have to trust and go on. Move on the best possible path, trusting in the grace of Jesus. We could break down and wait forever and end up getting in more trouble than before. If the Israelites did that, they would have died. We are shown that going forward with the guidance of Scripture and putting the things up in prayer allows us to move forwards. In fact, God says we must move on. Patience is required. We need to abide in our struggles with grace and mercy. But when the time comes for action, we are urged by God to move forwards. There's such symmetry between the steps of faith. We have a promise from God. We are called to wait on it with patience. When the time comes for action, we are to go forwards. Patience, however, is the most important part. We can make mistakes in action, and that's where God's grace comes in, but patience will build us into better people. When we learn patience through our struggles, it will spill over to other aspects of our lives. We can be better spouses, teachers and parents, bosses, employees. The applications of being patient are so numerous to list them would take forever. In Exodus, the Israelites' patience was not the best. Again, 400 years had taken its toll on them, and their patience had been a little stale. However, there is a wonderful point in the story. Grace covered their shortcomings through that time period, and God never gave up on them at all. Even when we feel that our patience is at an end, remember that God will give us grace to strive to the end. My favorite artist and inventor and all-around general genius is Leonardo da Vinci. He said, "Patience serves as a protection against wrongs, as clothes do against cold. For if you put on more clothes as the cold increases, it will have no power to hurt you. So in like manner, you must grow in patience when you meet with great wrongs, and they will then be powerless to vex your mind." It is of the utmost importance to grow in patience. Even if you don't want to grow in patience because you dislike waiting and having to rely on God, it still benefits you in every way. It's a win-win situation. Your faith goes up and your relationships will strengthen. So Moses gets up and waves his staff around and the waters part, allowing the Israelites to pass through on dry ground. It is an incredible way for God to solve their problem. And this is where the final part of the story takes part. Where does patience come from? How is it gained and strengthened? We have to endure trials and stay the course that God sets out for us. We have an obligation through faith to go through this life relying on God, and in order to continue our walk in patience, requires trust. 2 weeks ago, I talked about the Garden of Eden, and it is so essential in our lives to avoid sin and to keep us walking with God. We need this trust to keep our patience with God. It is also the factor that allows patience to flow through us into our lives. We need trust. The Israelites were forced to trust God because of the Exodus. During their time of captivity in Egypt, they had, as far as slaves could, I suppose, everything fairly cushy. So much so that they even wanted to go back to Egypt when they realized their circumstances would be tough. When God said he was going to deliver them, they had to trust him. They trusted enough to get their things and head out of Egypt, but they began to lose their confidence when they thought their situation became impossible. They took their eyes off of God and put them onto the world around them. This doubt even came after seeing water turn into blood. Frogs came up onto the land, even having the firstborn sons of the Egyptians die. And yet it still wasn't enough for the Hebrews to begin to trust fully. Their patience was still being worked on by God. Trust deepens our patience. If you want to grow in this aspect of your life, all things must be committed to Christ. Exodus does a wonderful job of pointing forward to the Messiah that would come. In fact, some New Testament writers even allude to Exodus as holding a lot of the prophecies of Jesus, who he would be, what he would be like, and what he would teach. In Exodus, God does just that. We can see the importance of patience and grace and trust throughout this whole story. The children's version leaves out the vastly important aspects of our faith, patience and grace. Patience paid off for an American astronomer, Clyde Tombaugh, who discovered the planet Pluto. After astronomers calculated a probable orbit for this suspected heavenly body, Tombaugh took up the search in March 1929. Time magazine recorded the investigation. He examined scores of telescopic photographs, each showing tens of thousands of star images in pairs under the dual microscope. It often took 3 days to scan a single pair. It was exhausting, eye-cracking work, in his own words. Brutal tediousness. It went on for months. Star by star, he examined 20 million images. And then on February 18, 1930, as he was blinking at a pair of photographs in the constellation Gemini, he said, "I suddenly came upon the image of Pluto. It was the most dramatic astronomic discovery in nearly 100 years. His patience, through probably the most tedious thing I could imagine, paid off. Patience is absolutely necessary for success in our lives, with our children or with our bosses or with God, and everything we need to do. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I ask that you would impress on our hearts the spirit of patience, that we would learn to grow and abide in our circumstances, fully trusting in you, knowing that you are the same miraculous God that is in this Exodus story, that you will provide a way forwards and out of our circumstances. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.